in, and there, standing in the kitchen, was a completely naked Harry Styles. Dan gave him a pepper pot to cover his modesty. "Thanks for pulling me out of there, mate," said Harry as he grabbed a pancake from the pan and walked out of the door. Dan looked into the middle distance. His face was no longer filled with confusion. It was no longer filled with horror. It was filled with revenge. To be continued.
So, we love our audience.
So much.
They are honestly some of the most wonderful, creative, talented people out there on the internet supporting any YouTubers. And, you know, we really appreciate all of the fan art that gets sent in to us.
Yeah, I mean, I am so impressed by how artistic some of these people are. It's, like, incredible. So we decided to dedicate a page to the beautiful art that our audience has made. And we're just going to have a look at some of it now, describe some of it to
Which ones are your favourites? I like the Dan and Phil as cacti wearing little hair.
Yeah.
That's good.
Dan and Phil as sharks.
That was from the Katy Perry Super Bowl performance.
Yeah, there's an amazing one of us at Radio 1. It looks so realistic.
And there's one of us playing Five Nights at Freddy's. It's so cute. It's so cool. All these different art styles. Man, it's really inspiring, you know. Anytime I see something like this, I'm like, you know, the videos that we've made have actually inspired these people with all this talent to make something just for us. And you know what? It makes me really happy, Phil.
Aw. Then we go on to the flip side.
Oh.
Which is...
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
It's the horrifying art our audience has made. We have Dan bread. Ugh, just like Dan's face inserted
horrifying.
Into bread.
We have you wearing stockings with boots on the end of them.
Oh.
We have me and you joined by the torso in the middle.
We've got female Dan and Phil.
Octophil and Dan as a fawn and a drawing of us from our photo booth challenge. What I said a minute ago doesn't stand anymore.
Yeah.
I'm still... inspired, I guess. Kind of scared.
A little bit
scared.
Honest.
I mean, whenever I see things like this, I kind of regret ever going onto the internet or giving these people something to react to. Nightmare material for months.
We still appreciate it. The existential crisis hallway.
Why do we exist? What is existence? What is the point of anything? Why? Does my life really matter outside of myself? Death is inevitable. We're all alone. The privilege of freedom is overwhelming. Ignorance is bliss. Consciousness is merely a biological process. Time extends before and after my life. Purposes are distractions and vice versa. What's for lunch? Infinity is incomprehensible. Help. Things overheard while writing the book.
While trapped in our apartment writing the book, we've had many strange conversations and heard many strange things said by the other person too early in the morning or late at night. And eventually we thought we should start writing them down. So here they are.
I just realized that my left sock is slightly damp and I don't know why.
I want my coffin to be lined with that paper. It feels so good.
I just realized I'm reading this story with David Tennant's voice.
Is there a tiny beetle in my nose, or is it just a phantom itch?
Do you reckon we could get an industrial-sized fan for the photo shoot?
I had a dream the book had popcorn-scented paper.
Oh no, I hate that photo. It looked like Shrek got set on fire and hit by a truck.
I think we should have a page about things that we said while writing the book, and feature what I'm saying now on that page.
Whoa.
Pageception.
I just typed unicorn instead of university. Dan's unicorn life.
How many people do you think will read this sentence on the toilet?
Side note, how many people do you think are listening to this audiobook on the toilet right now?
I'm slightly freaked out.
I hope our voices are helping you along. What shade of black should I use for this background?
Do you see loads of tiny neon triangles when you close your eyes?
Oh, look, there's a tiny man on the kettle.
Are you ever tempted to shake a small amount of salt into your hand and lick it?
What's 3 plus 7?
I forgot my mum's name for a second.
Was it dogs that have clean spit, or is that a myth?
I kind of just want to have a baby to see what it looks like.
Oh, I've been staring at this screen for too long. Are my eyes bleeding?
If I ate my own tongue, would it taste of the last thing I ate?
Why didn't you tell me you bought a motion-detecting air freshener? I just had a heart attack.
Do you think my shorts are too short? Combined with the frilly bits, I mean.
Last night, I dreamed that I deleted the entire book off the computer. Wait, have we saved the document since we started?
Is this even recording?
Welcome to Healthcare Center, HC291873. Location, Time Research Facility, Manchester X, year 2092. Patient 13254/. A.
Oh, why, hello, the internets. Is that what I used to say? I don't remember anymore. I check, but I'm currently having my eyes replaced with newer models, so I'm typing this using my psychic keyboard. I'm sending this message down a time compression machine. Handy thing, that. Apple has provided a lot of useful technology for the world over the years. Worth signing the Universal Submission Declaration, if you ask me. If you're wondering what the world is like now, mostly the same. The ultra-continent of China 2 is a fantastic place to live after the Great Assimilation. The news keeps talking about the ant population on Australia. You know, that island where we keep all our nuclear power and prisons. Something about multiplying and mutating? Yeah, I don't believe it personally. I remember having a great time writing the book. I obviously have it digitally saved on my iBrain drive, but I do still have a physical copy in my pod. I use it as my emotional tether in case I get too deep playing the virtual station and start to forget about the real universe. Oh, that was a fantastic weekend I spent with Lara Croft. Oh, well, who would have known that this would be the best-selling book of all time? Of course, Phil didn't realize that when he was leaning on the zero key for so long when he placed that Amazon order. Phil has been living with that debt his whole life. Poor guy. I hope all the readers enjoy the book and it brings them happiness. All the happiness you had really counted before the emotion purge of 2025. Well, I suppose things are less dramatic now. Anyway, I'm off. I have an appointment with the dentist. Of all the things that have been innovated on in our society, I can't believe you still need to get fillings. Oh well, here's a sexual ending card dance dedicated to you. Bye.
Patient 13254B.
Oh, hello, reader. Wow, it's been a while since I've used a computer. They feel so old-fashioned. It's making me nostalgic for when I was a strapping young lad with floppy black hair. Who'd have thought that would be the standard hairstyle for elderly people now? I am currently sat in my energy tank on the long journey through space to colonize New Earth. The Great Ant War was brutal, but also made me realize how much I valued my home planet. It makes me sad that I'll never drink a proton milkshake or ride a gravity coaster again, but I have those experiences in my mind. Literally, they are embedded into the video chip in my brain. It's nice that YouTube still exists. I've just been watching Lord PewDiePie, who's now got 400 billion subscribers across the universe. 5D gaming looks fun. It's a shame I can't play due to having half my leg eaten by the Queen Ant in that final battle. Who'd have thought she could use a flamethrower while giving birth to thousands of mutant babies? Enough about the Ant War, though. Now is not the time for those memories. I am over 100 years old. My body is starting to give up on me. Thankfully, I'm having my head implanted onto a robotic body. I've paid a little bit extra for a popcorn machine in my chest. I'm going to be the most popular elderly robot in the galaxy. Thanks for listening to this. Hopefully, we'll have perfected the technology to beam my message back to 2015, and I'll read it in some kind of audiobook. Writing it was one of the best experiences of my life. I can't believe the Queen actually secretly kept a copy in her toilet for all those years after her regeneration. I have to go back into hypersleep now. Farewell.
What happened in Vegas? In June 2012, we went to Las Vegas. I'd never been before, and we were already flying to the USA to go to the California YouTube convention VidCon, so we thought we would go a few days earlier and stop off in Nevada.
I love Vegas. I went once with my family when I was a teenager, and it was awesome. Crazy casinos, crazy nightlife, crazy people. The only downside was I really couldn't do anything because I was too young. I actually got kicked out of the Tropicana Hotel for trying to play blackjack. Oops.
So we decided to spend a week in the desert. Now, the thing is, I kind of told everybody that I filmed the whole trip, which I did. From the plane journey there to checking out of the hotel when we left, I had the whole thing on camera with the intention of editing it into a fun video. The story goes, when I got back to England, I put it off for so long because I had filmed so much. In fact, I had procrastinated so long that we lost the camera and most of the memory cards with the footage. This video that never was became known as the infamous Vegas video. Everyone wanted to know, What really happened with Dan and Phil in Vegas? Why would we film it all and not show everyone? Was the footage really lost? There have been more conspiracy theories than days passed since we returned from that journey.
We thought if all those files are never to be found, then why not finally, once and for all, reveal the story in our book? So this is what happened in Vegas. The whole uncensored truth.
The 22nd of June, 2012.
Being 6 foot tall, long flights for us aren't so much a, ugh, planes are so boring and uncomfortable, as, oh my god, my legs don't physically fit in this seat, dangerous compression.
We took to the skies and enjoyed an uneventful flight over the Atlantic. This piece, it turned out, would not last.
We landed in the USA! I could smell the freedom the moment I stepped off the plane.
A short cab ride and we were on the strip. It was just as cool as it looks in the movies. I mean, it's really tacky and horrible and everything about it is really seedy and evil looking, but in a cool, wow, I'm in a movie kind of way.
We arrived at our hotel, Caesar's Palace, and unpacked our bags ready for adventure.
We didn't want to waste any time, so got changed straight away and headed downstairs to the casino.
I'm obsessed with slot machines.
Phil has what you would call a gambling problem.
It's not a problem. I'm just addicted to the bright lights and loud noises and slim chances of shiny things coming out of a hole. Okay, maybe a slight issue, but it paid off.
Phil, don't deny anything. I have photo evidence.
We settled on one particular slot machine, the Aladdin, mainly because it had cool music.
And a freaking vibrating chair. Seriously, the production values on these slot machines were crazy. They were basically simulators.
This one was special though, as you could actually win better prizes by playing little mini-games, which, as giant nerds who spend our entire lives gaming, we're pretty good at.
Oh man, I remember it now. We kept winning and winning, getting jackpot after jackpot, and it just kept adding up.
We were doing so well that we started to attract a crowd of silent lurkers who usually spend their whole days endlessly pulling on the slot.
I.e. what you would have become had we stayed there any longer.
Hey, we weren't there for much longer though, as the luckiest thing in my entire life happened.
Man.
We won the mega jackpot.
$666,085.25 to be precise.
Lights went off, music started playing, the previously silent slot lurkers started cheering with wide eyes.
The casino handed us a receipt that we could cash in for money whenever we wanted, but we thought, hey, if we're in Vegas, we need to do this properly.
Double or nothing.
That's right, people. We went to play roulette.
Now, you may think us foolish, but we had everything going for us. Beginner's luck, the magic of youth, I was wearing my lucky socks and underpants.
Guaranteed win.
We sat around the table and watched eagerly as the ball of fate spun around the circle of fate to decide our fate.
Okay, Phil, I think they appreciate the drama. And you will never believe this. We won again.
Now, you'd think this is where the story gets crazy in a good way. We cash in the check, rent the penthouse suite, call some of those numbers on those weird cards we got handed on the way into the casino, and party all night.
Unfortunately not. This is when it all went horribly wrong.
We turned around to see two giant men in suits and sunglasses and proceeded to get dragged out of our chairs across the floor.
I was terrified. I had my bag and camera snatched out of my hands and they took us into some kind of interrogation room.
Now, I've seen enough movies to know how the whole good cop, bad cop game is played. They didn't do that.
No, it was just bad cop and really, really angry bad cop who would not listen to us talk.
Basically, we were accused of cheating on the Aladdin machine.
I knew we were skilled gamers, Phil, but I never thought we were so good it was dangerous.
They kept us chained to the table all night, which I thought was pretty unprofessional. And then in the morning, they told us some guy named Killer Tony was going to have a tough conversation with us unless we explained how he did it. I was so confused.
Oh my god, Phil, they were the mafia. They were threatening to kill us.
Oh, wow, that explains so much. I thought they just had it in for us because of our unorthodox sense of style.
To be fair, our hair was pretty weird in 2012.
Yeah.
It was probably a crime in a lot of places. Anyway, I wasn't letting this happen. You can take away my casino winnings. You can take away my freedom. And it's not like I had any pride to protect, really. But you can't take my video camera.
Dan was really fighting for this video, guys.
So in a moment that I feel like all of my video game playing and thriller watching in those 2 months of taekwondo lessons my mum paid for before I quit.
I didn't know you did taekwondo. That's the martial art that Buffy uses.
Yeah, I know, man. That is totally what inspired me. Anyway, we're digressing. I reached under the table with my hands cuffed and with all my might flipped it over, knocking the two guys off their chairs, grabbed my camera, and we ran for it.
We ran through the casino looking for a way out. Well, I did. Dan was too busy filming the whole thing.
I needed to capture our escape in case we needed it for evidence.
We found a staircase and ran up to the roof where we hid in the bushes from security. Again, Dan filming them probably didn't help.
Look at the quality evidence we got, though. See him zoom in on that security guard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ready to identify his face.
We got changed into some different clothes Dan hid in his bag, and I began to think of a plan. Dan had his moment of braveness flipping that table like no one had ever flipped a table before, Now it was my turn.
Honestly, for someone who can't drive a car, I am so surprised you did this.
I decided to steal a helicopter.
Now I think about it, stealing their boss's helicopter probably only made the mafia angrier.
Well, it was his fault for leaving it on. Seriously, who leaves their helicopters unlocked in this day and age? We just ran up to the helipad, jumped in, I pulled up the joystick.
Is it called that?
I don't know. And with the sun rising ahead of us, we began gunning for the Nevada desert with the mafia in pursuit.
We flew over what seemed like endless sand for hours. Seriously, America is so big though. What do they need all that land for?
I don't know.
When we spotted somewhere we could hide, we didn't know exactly what it was, some kind of underground building with a lot of plain cars parked outside, but we figured whoever was there could protect us from the rampaging casino Avengers.
I'm not gonna lie, the landing could have been smoother.
Phil literally dropped the helicopter onto the roof of someone's car and we had to jump out of the window before we got chopped into slices of fan sashimi.
Hey, I got us there.
That you did, and as our pursuers began to safely descend from the skies themselves, we ran towards the weird building.
Except when we got to it, there was no entrance. Just a mysterious door and a security camera.
I thought it was suspicious from the start, if you ask me. Now, we're not ones to condone vandalism, but when you're being chased by particularly broad men in suits and sunglasses, you're willing to commit some property damage in order to live. We kicked in the air vent and slid ourselves inside.
You know those moments in movies where someone slides down a cave hole or vent for ages and it looks really fun? It's actually just really scary and painful.
Seriously? Plus it was well sandy and dusty. It totally ruined my new shorts.
Thank God you packed those extra clothes, or we'd have just looked bad on top of everything else happening.
Hey, just because you get into a situation like this doesn't mean you should stop trying to look nice for people.
This is when our story gets even crazier. We pick ourselves up off the floor, get out our phones used as a torch, and see an entire underground hangar filled with incubation tanks.
We couldn't see through the murky glass, but something was clearly inside all of these tubes filled with bubbling liquid. There were all kinds of strange metal instruments lying around that looked unlike anything medical or industrial I'd ever seen.
We had to know more about this weird place, so we skimmed around the room looking for a window, which was impossible now the sun had set. But when we looked through, we saw something we'd never forget.
A giant machine in the shape of a triangle was hovering above the ground, firing a beam of light towards the desert.
I started to freak out a bit, so I stumbled over and fell against a wall, which is when I accidentally leaned on the automatic door.
Whoomph! It slid open and we both collapsed into what appeared to be an operation theatre filled with surgeons.
We didn't get a good look at whatever they were operating on before some other guys in suits appeared out of nowhere and knocked us out. I go my whole life without getting into any trouble, and then I get arrested twice in one day. Can you believe it?
I remember they stuck us in a lift, translation for transatlantic's elevator, that took us back up to the room and locked us inside. When they woke us up in the morning, no breakfast by the way, they were terrible hosts. They told us that apparently we were trespassing on secret government property and the well-dressed men who escorted us upstairs were from the FBI. Of course we were.
Dan, do you realize what this means?
What?
We accidentally broke into Area 51.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh Jesus, that's typical Dan and Phil. Go for a little holiday before a YouTube convention and wind up trapped between aliens and the mafia.
Thankfully, this is when we got lucky in a non-money related way.
Well, kind of lucky if you forget the general violence that was about to ensue. We gandered out of the window to get some sense of where we were when guess who was waiting for us? Our old pals from the casino.
Seriously, did they have no lives? Who do you try and find for an entire night?
Thieves stealing millions of dollars from your business?
Okay, kind of understandable. We looked out of the window and made awkward eye contact with them, and it all kicked off. Out of nowhere, they started shooting at us through the glass. Like shooting someone is a good way to make them explain how they cheated on a slot machine.
Right.
And we dived under the table.
Our well-dressed friends from whatever the hell that was downstairs burst into the room to see what the hubbub was, only to find themselves being indiscriminately blasted out with bullets too.
Both parties opened fire on each other, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Mafia versus FBI. Wish I could have watched it.
They seemingly forgot about the two dorks under the table though, so we used the opportunity to dash for the nearest door, when just as we stepped outside, a stray bullet hit a gas tank on the side of the building, causing a gigantic explosion. We were sent flying into a pile of rocks with our ears ringing and leg hairs lightly barbecued.
We picked ourselves up, glanced over our shoulders at the destruction, and decided to run over the nearest hill into the endless desert where we walked for hours. I was seriously hungry by this point. You don't want to mess with a Phil who hasn't had his morning cereal. It was a cool environment though. Hey Dan, look at this picture I took of you.
Hey, that is a cool picture. Hey, remember to tag me in that on Facebook later, okay?
Sure thing. This is when I recalled a little nugget of wisdom from my granddad. Phil, you have no sense of direction, so promise me, if you ever get lost, just walk towards a road and stand on it.
That's a very specific piece of advice there.
What can I say? He knew me well, and it worked.
That it did. After getting totally blanked by at least three truckers and a school bus...
It was probably our haircuts that scared them away.
You could be right. A camper van pulled over and swung open its doors. As it happened, it was some gymnasts from the Cirque du Soleil heading back to Las Vegas to perform a show at our hotel.
What are the chances of that? Unfortunately, it wasn't that simple, as their offering of help came at a price. They wanted Dan and I to fill in for a colleague that broke every bone in his body practicing for a trick.
I can say with confidence that I never once thought getting trapeze lessons would be a useful skill, but here we were. We had no choice.
It was either that or be abducted and probed, slash arrested, slash left with killer Tony. So we said yes and hopped into the van. Note, generally don't hop into strangers' vans unless you're at risk of those three things.
There were some pretty chill dudes, actually. I always wondered what it would be like to run away and join the circus. Turns out it's years of demanding exercise and really cramped cars with faulty aircon. Not really my thing.
The car journey wasn't our toughest challenge of the day. We made it back to Vegas, but before we could relax, it was showtime.
The theatre was packed with about 5,000 people who all paid to see world-class gymnasts at the peak of fitness perform at their maximum. I got kind of exhausted just walking up the stairs to the stage.
Our new friend Francoise told us it would be easy. We just had to stand on a diving board and hold his hands, then he'd release us and we'd fly 50 feet through a burning hoop and into a swimming pool.
I didn't trust him.
Oh, just because he was blocking your cool airflow in a minivan.
Hey, if it wasn't for them, we'd have probably still been lost in the desert. So we got up on that stage, climbed a really tall ladder and waited for our time to come when Francoise would throw us to our doom.
It was amazing. We jumped up and swung from his masculine frame through the air like swans as he gently released us, cascading through the air into the embrace of the water below.
That's a pretty poetic way of saying chucked us off a ledge into a freezing pond in our clothes, Phil.
It was one of the highlights of my life. After the show, they brought us backstage, gave us a standing ovation, and made us honorary members of the circus. Francoise, Janine, and Ringo the Sad Monkey will be in my heart forever.
Exhausted, sandy, and drenched, we crawled up to our hotel room expecting to finally rest, only to be greeted by our handsome friends from the FBI.
In short, they totally trashed our hotel room and told us that we had to give all the money back to the casino, and that if we ever posted the video footage online, there would be unnecessary consequences. Wait, isn't that what we're doing now? Dan, I don't want our book to get us hunted by the FBI.
Phil, he clearly said video footage. Nothing about the dozens of screenshots we put in the book or us telling the story in vivid detail counts.
If you say so.
We spent the night tidying the room so we didn't get an additional fine and packed our bags ready to fly to LA for VidCon. At least I stole a couple souvenir dice from the casino to get back at them.
Dan, are you seriously saying after all that you took something from the gift shop on the way out?
Okay, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
I'm just glad to finally have this story out in the open.
Yup, it may seem unbelievable, but that's why we never uploaded a video, and this was the story of what happened in Vegas. So here we are.
The end of our audiobook. So what do you want to say? Dan, you always like big waffly conclusions. Take it away.
I guess I just want to say, this thing that we've created, this world of Dan and Phil, is ephemeral. It was never something that tangibly existed, just hundreds of pictures and videos and stories and memories floating in the digital void of the internet. It was all an accident, really. We could have never met. I could have never taken that final leap into making videos. Phil might have gone back to working at a bookstore in York, and none of this might have ever existed. It did happen, though. We met. We made these videos together, and for whatever reason, the chemistry between us had the X factor that resonated with people around the world. And what we all created together over the following years is pretty darn wonderful. I look into that digital void and see millions of people who all found entertainment, happiness, and even friendship just through these silly videos that we uploaded to a website. And it really makes me feel like I've done something. I have scratched at least a tiny mark in an infinitely small part of the universe, so that long into the future, we can all look back and remember who these Dan and Phil guys were and what they did. You never know what might happen in the future. So in a way, you could say that we made this for us, for posterity. But really, it was for you. Without our audience, none of this would exist. I know for a fact that we have one of the most passionate followings of anyone on the internet, and we appreciate it with every moment. We gave you the videos, but without the support, creativity, and energy that you have given us since the beginning, Dan and Phil could have never been the world that we are celebrating in this book. The real dedication, then, is to you. You do with this whatever you will. You hold whatever space for Dan and Phil in your mind that you want. We hope that we represent good times in your life and that this can be your portal back to them whenever you wish. We are Dan and Phil, and this is The Amazing Book Is Not on Fire.
Well, how am I supposed to follow that?
What? You asked for a waffly conclusion.
Yeah, but you can't just wrap up the entire universe into an inspirational speech, then walk off stage leaving me in the spotlight.
Just say whatever comes to mind.
Okay, well, double everything Dan said from me. Also, I just wanted to say that I've really enjoyed making this, and I'm so excited to see what the future of this crazy adventure of my life will hold. Thank you.
How do we end it, then? Self-destruct? Giant photo of a cat?
Maybe a derpy photo of us?
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks for listening. You are all better than toast.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
The Amazing Book Is Not on Fire is published by Random House Audiobooks, a division of the Penguin Random House Group.
Copyright Dan Howell and Phil Lester, 2015.
Copyright in recording Random House Audiobooks.
Music by Kevin MacLeod, Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0.
Dan Howell and Phil Lester have asserted their rights under Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988 to be identified as the authors of this work.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.